Very good morning to all of you listening to 101 Radio Miraya, and welcome to Crime Watch, this edition, particularly 20 minutes there of 9 a.m. My name is Moyo Jacob Felix, and this morning we'll be talking about the role of one-stop centers in helping the victims of sexual gender-based violence and conflict-related sexual violence. And I'm pleased to be joined right this morning in the studio. We have with us police advisor Miko Lampila from the office of the SGBV. Welcome to Radio Miraya this morning.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. We also have with us Madam Estela Kilei Santino, who is the Deputy Director for the Directorate of Gender, the State Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare. Welcome to Radio Miraya.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And talking about the role of one-stop centers in helping the victims of sexual gender-based violence and conflict-related sexual violence. And you know, these are forms of violence that happens in most parts of the country, especially when conflict happens. And so we are pleased to be having this discussion this morning, and I will be able to navigate our way through and understand deeper insights about this and how they happen, the effects that come with it, and how best they can actually be addressed. By who? It's all we are talking about this morning. And let me go right away to Madam Estela. I mean, when we talk about a one-stop center, what is one-stop center?
Okay, thank you so much, Jacob. One-stop center is the Family Protection Center. It is established at Juba Teaching Hospital in November 2017 in collaboration with the Minister of Health, Minister of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, the International Rescue Committee by then, and then with the technical support and financial from the UNFPA to support the survivors of gender-based violence, GBV, or SGBV, or CRSV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Lampila, I want to understand, we're talking about one-stop center. So what is the link between this one-stop center and the conflict-related sexual violence and also the sexual gender-based violence? What is the linkage between these two?
Well, as we all know, there is a lot of sexual and gender-based violence in South Sudan. Of course, it's everywhere. But conflict-related sexual violence is part of that. And the one-stop center is there for the support. And us as UNPOL, we do a lot of collaboration with the one-stop center in all the states, basically. And we find that their services are really inestimable here.
Mm. Now, talking about this one-stop center, what happens within the one-stop center?
Okay, thank you. First of all, let me introduce the staffs in One Stop Center.
Yes.
Yes, there are about 10 staff working in One Stop Center. 5 social workers, 3 female and 2 male from the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, from our ministry, the State Ministry of Gender, yeah.
Monfenac.
Yes. And then 2 medical doctors, 1 male and 1 female. Yeah, they are there to help the survivors in One Stop Center. They are from the Ministry of Health. And then 2 legal advisors, 1 male and 1 female. And then also 1 cleaner. They are all 10 in number.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then our services offered at One Stop Center. Family Protection Center or One Stop Center provides a full package of integrated services to gender-based violence or CRSV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, survivors on timely manner and referrals conducted with the consent from the survivor under one roof. You know, all the services are there in one roof where you can find social workers and then the doctors are there and then also the legal advisors are there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the survivor comes, the social workers are the one first to start their work.
Mm-hmm.
They are the one to welcome the survivors and then take them in counseling room one by one. Yeah. And then also they will do referral to the doctor and then also to the legal as well. Yeah. The center is attached to Juba Teaching Hospital as a unit in accessible location to allow privacy and confidentiality of GBV and CRSV. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So why must there be confidentiality? Because this is a survivor of bisexual gender-based violence or survivor of conflict-related sexual violence. I mean, why is confidentiality, coming in?
Okay, their rights have been violated with the perpetrators, and then when they come there, so confidentiality is very important because so that the rest of the people would not know what happened to that survivor. And then also the perpetrators also. Sometimes the perpetrator will be moving around checking for the survivor, like maybe he want to harm the survivor, he want to kill, because he will know that the survivor is coming to report such a case, and then even that case will go up to the court, and then he will be taken to prison or whatever. So that's why confidentiality is very important. And then also we don't want that survivor to be exposed to other people, like, this person has been raped, you know? Yeah. So that's why confidentiality is really very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, but is there no security around for, to guard the survivor, to protect from the perpetrator who might actually come back to deal with the victim, would fear that this is going to expose them before the authorities?
Yes. There is authority, there are police at the gate. But you know, if the perpetrator is nearby, so coming, running up to the gate, so, you know, it takes time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything can happen to the survivor. That's why confidentiality is very important for the fear of all that. We can run to the police will come, but you know, running to the police, it takes time, some minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Let me also come to Miko. She has mentioned this one-stop center consists of, talking about people from the Ministry of Health, from the Ministry of Gender, the legal councils, among others. Why all this? Why consist of all this group of people?
Thank you. I think it's very important that the one-stop center is what the name implies, that it's really just one stop, so that the victim or the survivor doesn't have to go to many places, so that they have to go to the police and then to the doctor and then to the legal advisor and then to the social worker, but that all the services can be had in sort of in one place, so that they can just do that one stop and then they will be fine. Mm-hmm. And about the confidentiality, I'd like to say that it's also, of course, it's part and parcel of the UNMISS mandate on protection of civilians. It's sort of ties in with that. We have to protect those civilians who are the victims of these crimes. So it's very important for us also to keep their confidentiality and keep their identities sort of not public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. So now that we have the one-stop center, who you were also talking about confidentiality in this case. Who is, who can go to the one-stop center?
Okay, the survivors of SGBV or GBV or CRSV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, only the survivors.
Why only the survivors?
Yes, you know, that place, the place is meant only for survivors, for GBV survivors only, not to the rest of the people. Yeah, because we want, like I say, that everything is in one place, in one roof.
Mm.
It is just special for the survivors, not for any other patients. Because any other patients, they will just go to the normal hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But for them, their case are so special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why, as I said before, and then confidentiality also, issue is also very important. That's why they are put in a separate place.
What about their family members? Won't they be able to come to the center to see their relative?
Yes, you know, the relatives, they can come.
Mm-hmm.
They can just accompany the survivors. Yeah, they accompany the survivors. But And then also after the counseling with the survivors, and then one of the relatives can be called. They will be outside. They will be outside the counseling room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or even sometimes, even in the doctor's room, the social worker will be the one with the doctor inside. But the relatives will be outside. Yeah, because sometimes they are also physical examination, whatever, and then the social worker is the right person to be with the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the relatives will wait outside.
During moments like they want to visit their family member, they want to go and see once in a while like that, are they allowed?
Yes, they are allowed. But you know, if in one stop center, because it is in the hospital, when the case, when the survivor is admitted, like if the survivor is admitted in the hospital, it will be in a ward, you know? Yeah, gynecology department.
Mm.
Yes, they can be admitted there. So the relatives can come and visit, yeah, and see them.
Mm-hmm.
But when they are coming just for our services in one stop center, after the services have all already finished, and then they will just go with their relatives home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to understand now, how long does it take for a survivor to be in that one stop center? I mean, for how long?
Okay. You know, it will depend. It will depend to the case, you know. You know, some of them can take maybe some hours. But if it is a critical situation, it will take almost maybe if the case is a case of rape, then the survivor can be admitted. It will take some days. And then sometimes it will take from morning up to evening. It will depend to the case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said you are protecting the survivor from maybe an external attack again from the perpetrator of the violence. But again, if this survivor is discharged home, allowed now to go home, don't you think the same perpetrator might follow this person up?
Of course it's possible. And it is very difficult to make sure that this doesn't happen. And I think part of the, probably what she was talking about, the privacy and not allowing many people to visit, it's also about the stigma.
Mm.
It is very big stigma here that the survivors face, and there's a lot of traditional thinking that if somebody has been raped, then their value in a way is diminished, and that sort of thinking leads to the blaming of the victims, which of course is harmful. Somebody is a victim, they should not be blamed for something that somebody else has done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something maybe as a society there needs to be some work done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Estella, yes.
Yeah, and then, you know, if a case is reported in one stop center, it's supposed to be in a safe house until the case ends, until the perpetrator is captured and then put in prison. But you know, sometimes with the situation here, we have safe house, which is only one, and then it will not accommodate all of them. Yeah, it is there only one. And then sometimes also the relatives say, no, they are taking their child or even their girl home, you know? Yeah, also we respect their views.
But this is where your ministry comes in. So they say we're taking this person home.
Yes.
But you know, it's not right. That's just their traditional myths.
Mm.
Yeah, but now your perspective from the ministry now, from the civil action, I mean, what do you normally tell them?
Yes, we normally tell them it is okay that the survivor will be in safe house until the perpetrator is taken to prison, you know, because it is so harm. Sometimes the perpetrator even will go and then even convince the survivor that, okay, you just go in a court, just say that I didn't even sleep with you, you know. Yeah, for example, I didn't rape you. You just talk, maybe you tell somebody else, you know. Even the perpetrator can talk to survivors like that. We normally tell them, but you know. And then also the situation of safe house, it takes only few people, like 15.
Mm.
So that's why we cannot be able even to insist, you know, on that. Yeah, because it is taking few people. And then also what we encourage them, we normally tell the relatives that, okay, maybe the survivor can be taken to somebody's house, like an uncle, an aunt, you know, for some times, because the perpetrator may know the house, and then he will want to come and move around to check on
to
the
identify.
Yes. So that's why we normally tell them that the survivor may go and be in one of the relatives' house to stay there until the case is completed.
Yeah, but you say the survivor can stay within the safe house for a couple of times until the case is actually now finished.
Yes.
But there are scenarios, of course, like you said, some cases take a very, very long time. Will the survivor continue to stay in the safe house?
Yes, it will depend. You know, the cases sometimes takes a lot of time. Like now, safe house is also having some challenges. Like sometimes no water for the survivors there, and then even electricity. So if it is taking long, we can just advise the relatives to take this survivor to one of the relatives' house, which is very far, like maybe if they stay in Gudele, so they will take the survivor to Munuki if the relative is there. She will stay there. And then we normally also tell the relatives of the survivor, let them not expose, let them not talk to even to the neighbors that, you know, such case has happened to my daughter, or, you know, it is not okay. Yeah, they will just keep it on silent. Yeah.
Like that.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. But I want to understand, talking about the one-stop center and safe house, are they the same?
No, they are not the same. One stop center is whereby they get the services. You know, they get the services, like they get counseling from the social workers, and then also they get medication from the doctors, physical examination, and then other kind of examinations also, like HIV, and then hepatitis and all that, you know. But and then also for legal, they will have that legal advisor, whereby the legal advisor can help them to process, can escort them to court, can even hear the court hearing, you know, all that. But safe house is just for their safety. Yeah,
all right.
There for their safety.
Now let us come to understand. I mean, who can go? I mean, how much does it actually cost for somebody to go to the one-stop center?
Okay, you know, it is in one in Juba Teaching Hospital. It is located in Juba Teaching Hospital, and then also it will depend to the area where the survivors live. You know, yeah. Sometimes the survivor may come from Gudele. It will take like maybe 3,000, yeah, and then going back 6,000, 10,000, yeah. But we normally also have some survivors who are brought from the counties, you know, from the counties, even from the states. They can refer the case up to here, to Juba.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Let's come down to talk about... you have spoken to us much more about the role of the one-stop center. Now, what about the cooperation between the South Sudan National Police Service and the one-stop center?
Okay. You know, we really have that cooperation with the police. It is totally there. Yeah, you know, sometimes, not sometimes, they normally escort the survivors to us, the police. Yeah, if the survivor goes to the police station, they will just escort. They will bring to one stop center. They will be the one to bring the police themselves. And then also, if the survivor starts from us, from one stop center comes to one stop center, then the social workers automatically will escort the survivor
to
or
the
accompany
police.
The survivor to the police at the gate to get Form 8.
Then
when the Form 8 is already filled, and then the social worker also will accompany the survivor to the police station if, to open a case, you know.
Yeah.
So we have that relationship, very good relationship. Even we are in collaboration with them. Sometimes even we coordinate, you know. we talk with them in the phones.
Mm-hmm. That sounds very, very interesting. Miko, you work for UNMISS, and you so much also have a link between the UNMISS police and the South Sudan National Police Service. I mean, how do you see this one as a very important step? The relationship between the South Sudan National Police Service and the One Stop Center. Do you support that?
Of course. This is very important link, and their collaboration is very important in dealing with sexual crimes, mm-hmm. with whether it be SGBV, sexual and gender-based violence, or the conflict-related sexual violence. And usually when we have trainings, especially in the team that I am in, we try to have somebody from One Stop Center to be there with us, to explain the role of One Stop Center. Last time I was actually with Estella, we were talking about interviewing children who are the victims of crimes, and she had really a brilliant lesson on this subject. Mm-hmm. It's very crucial that the National Police Service and One Stop Center, that they work hand in hand, because then it will make things easier for everyone. But can I ask a question from Estella?
Mm-hmm.
I recently heard that the victims or the survivors, they don't need to have the Form 8 anymore mm-hmm. when they first come to the One Stop Center. Is this correct?
No. Form 8 is very important.
Mm.
Yeah, it is really very, very important, because the information about the survivor, mm-hmm. if it can be written in Form 8,
mm-hmm.
like if really rape has happened, you know, yeah, the doctor will take the evidence, you know, written mm-hmm. the evidence down. So it is very important.
Because that question came. There was the statement from the authorities saying that because these are critical, so someone needs services immediately.
Yes.
And going through a lot of processes, you are sent back to the police first, from the hospital to the police. It takes process. And if not for some cases, somebody might die in the process of accessing this. And that's why they said for now, they are actually exempted from accessing Form 8, but first they can get treatment before actually getting to the police to get Form 8. But we'll continue to have more information about that with time. Okay. So I would like to understand, if there is no proper link between the South Sudan National Police Service and the One Stop Center, I mean, what happens? How will the work look like at the One Stop Center?
The work will not look well. Yeah, because the role of police is also very important in One Stop Center. And then also, if the relatives sometimes of the perpetrators and the relatives of the survivors come and meet in One Stop Center, sometimes they may even quarrel, they want to fight. And then the social workers or even the doctor will just run to the police at the gate. So they will come and just help.
Mm.
So they have really a very good
link.
Role. Yeah.
All right. Link. I mean, tell us now, Matim, about the referral system. How does it work?
Okay. We have the referral pathway, whereby you can find two from each institution, two persons from each institution. Yeah, it will be written there, their names, and then their titles, and then also their phone numbers. In case of anything, you can just call that institution, or like policing station, you call somebody from there, oh, you know, I have this. Or mm-hmm. there's a case like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can be able normally to help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then also sometimes you can also have the survivor, and then you coordinate like with the police or with one of the organization if you need help for that survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just one of the social workers can just call, you know, I have such a survivor. I need, if maybe you have a livelihood whereby the survivor can do it. Yeah, or even maybe I need a help, like I can call to the police.
Mm.
Yeah, and then talk with them. That okay, this your social worker is taking the survivor to you. The survivor wants to open a case, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, we have that referral system is up to date.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, what about in cases of investigations? We understand that it is the National Police Service that does the investigation, but do you actually join together with them? I mean, from the one-stop center, do you do joint investigation with the police?
No. Yeah. This is the role of the police to do investigation. But for one-stop center, the social workers can do counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can do counseling. But investigation, no. We are not.
It's left in the hands of the police.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Do the police, when your doctors investigate, or not investigate, but when they have the victim...
They will just take like a story.
Yeah. But when they, when they do the examination of the survivor,
yes,
do they present those findings to the police?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in that way, they support the police.
Yes, they support the police. Yeah, they can fill Form 8, and then the evidence is all written in the Form 8.
Hmm.
Then it will be taken to the police.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. At the one-stop center,
I can say like they can just ask the survivor, like, what happened? The doctor can ask what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But with social workers, it differs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they will take, yes, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, what you have went through. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ours, the social workers, is different. Mm-hmm. But the doctors, they will ask that, what happened? Can you tell me? Like that.
All right. Do you do some trainings or organize some trainings for the National Police Service or others in terms of how to handle this work that are related to survivors of sexual gender-based violence and conflict-related sexual violence?
Yes. In one stop center, there was a lady from IRC. She normally organized. Even she can call us to go also and attend with the police. And then she will even train the police on GBV and then also the referral pathway. And then also she will also talk about early reporting of the survivors. You know, she talk a lot of things to police.
Mm.
She normally train the police. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we are also there with them together, the social workers and the police. We normally meet.
All right. Let's come down to talk about the challenges now. I mean, what challenges does the one-stop center actually face in their everyday work?
Okay. There are a lot of challenges. First of all, late reporting of the survivors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the survivors come late, you know, as a staff in one-stop center, you will not feel happy. Yeah, you expect that they're supposed to come early. They're supposed to come from the very beginning
when the incident happened,
so that they can be given
early treatment.
Yes, early treatment like PEP and then emergency contraceptives, so that that survivor cannot even get pregnant, cannot get HIV. You know, because we don't know the status of the perpetrator. Maybe the perpetrator is having HIV. Or gonorrhea or syphilis. That's why we encourage them to come early so that they can be given early treatment. Yeah. And then also the offices now in one-stop center, there are only two offices for counseling and then for doctors. And then the legal officers, the legal advisors, they don't have office.
Where do they sit?
Yeah, they will sit. They will just wait. When the social worker finish their work, then the social workers will get out, then they will get in. Or if the doctor finish the work, you know, the place is really so congested. But by then, it was good. There were like 3-4 rooms. But now, they have taken to another place because that place is now under, they are constructing the older place.
Mm.
So they are taken to a new place whereby only two offices. So the place even is so congested. You know, the relatives of the survivors, they can come, just no space for them to wait. They will just lingering around, you know, even under the sun, no shelter for them. Yeah.
May I chip in?
Yeah. Yes.
I have another question.
Okay. You are welcome.
What would you say is the biggest thing from stopping the survivors of sexual violence from coming immediately, like straight away, to visit the one-stop center? Is there something that,
like,
you could
what
say?
Delays them?
Exactly. Yeah, what delays them? That's the perfect way.
Okay. you know, sometimes, you know, the ignorance, some of them, they don't have that information about going to one stop center, you know. They don't have that information, this one. And then, secondly, you know, the relatives and then the neighbors, they say, ah, don't go there. Why do you bother yourself? Just keep it as a secret. So long it has happened, no need even for us to talk about that because we're exposing our girl. You just leave it, you just stay. And then the third thing is, you know, culture. You know, cultural kind of perspective. They say, no, the only thing, we just better call the perpetrator to give something or to give bright wealth than going up to there to give that kind, that kasrubate. And that's all. You just leave about that. Don't even bother yourself going ahead, you know. The relatives, you say, no, they don't want to go ahead with the case. So that's the things that cannot allow them to come to one stop center. And then also, you know, money. Some of them can complain that how can they reach there? It needs a lot of money. Even in the hospital, it needs money, you know. Coming from home, you must have a money for transport. And then also money for treatment. Because now in Juba Teaching Hospital, there's nothing for free. You know, anything needs money. Even a stamp. The for me to be stamp only, it needs money. So the survivors really suffer. And then the treatment, even examination for HIV, they also request for money. And then also examination for hepatitis, whatever. And then sometimes the survivor can come also with the complaint of having malaria, you know, experiencing signs of malaria. So there's need also for the survivor to be examined, to be checked whether she has malaria, typhoid, or whatever. It requests a lot of money. That's why, you know, the survivors, some of them, they fear if they don't have money, they will just stay. Yeah. And then also sometimes because their ignorance of one stop center, they will just say, okay, they will just go to sector, like in the area. You know, even those in the sector, they may don't have that information about one stop center. They will just say, maybe you can just go to another hospital. Or even, what can we do? Maybe sometimes they will even detain the survivor, you know. It will take time. Yeah. So when they are coming, when it was all already late.
Yeah, but also here, you are the focal person. I mean, the Ministry of Gender is a focal person here, focal institution in this case. I mean, are you engaging with the police authorities to ensure that all these processes are actually eased for the survivors to get the assistance as quick as possible, like the issues to do with the cost that is involved with getting the services, like you mentioned, getting the stamp you need to pay, getting the formate you need to pay. But this is somebody who needs, I mean, attention as quick as possible, so that before anything happens, they can be treated as early as possible. Are you actually engaging with the police authorities?
Yes, we normally talk with them, and then also we normally also meet with the director of SPU, you know, in the workshops.
Yeah.
So even me, sometimes I used to go to police station, Melekea Police Station. Yeah, to be with the police there. And then if there's also a case, I have to attend. Yes.
All right. So let's wind up this conversation here. I would like you to tell us the major or the biggest obstacles in South Sudan concerning the SGB fee and also the CRS fee.
Okay. Thank you. You know, what I found here in South Sudan, the major obstacle is our cultures, you know? Our cultures, they are really, they don't even, you know, some of them, they don't even believe that it is GPV. They say, ah, you just ignore about that. Yeah, they will not take it serious as much as possible. Yeah, even like for other counties, they will even force their girl to get married to someone that she doesn't like, you know? Yeah, if the girl come to us and then we talk with them, it is difficult even to convince them. They will not even believe. They will say, okay, they will just pretend like we should have meetings with them in our office. We talk to them, even we do some awareness raising, but they don't even believe on that. They will say, okay, you have said, they will just pretend like they are getting us. Mm. But after some time, they will also do the same thing.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Stella, for joining us. Thank you, Miko, for joining us as well this morning, this edition of Crime Watch. Thank you so much.